Good morning and welcome to Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Danny Binney. We're excited that you're joining us this morning, and we would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Would you open your Bibles with me, please, to Jeremiah chapter 6. Now, I want to apologize for the lighting in here this morning. We have some problems with our lights, and we've kind of isolated the problem, but we haven't been able to fix it yet. Now, the lights that are shining, interestingly, have no effect on the lights that aren't burning. And they can't. There's no way that any of those lights can shine bright enough that it's going to turn on one of these other lights. But you and I have been sent as lights in a dark, dark world. And your light matters. And if you're the only light in the darkest of situations, make no mistake about it, your light counts. And your light is important. And there is no telling what your light is holding back from the judgment of God upon any given situation. You think your light doesn't matter? I'm just one among so many lights out, Brother Danny. Oh, but listen. Bible tells us a story about a place called Sodom and Gomorrah. And if just one person could have been found, one righteous person could have been found, God would have spared the destruction of that city. And if those two cities had been spared, think about how different the world would be. Think about how different history would have been written. Think about what might have been in the Word of God. Your light counts. Now, interestingly, these lights that are burning can't cause these other ones to start burning. But your light in your situation, and it, you may be the only light in your family. You may be the only light in your school. You may be the only light in your work. You may be the only light in your neighborhood. Did you know that it used to increase the value of homes if it was known that Christians lived in a neighborhood? Do you know now that it doesn't? And in some cases, it even decreases the value of homes? But you can be a light. And you can be a light that makes a difference, that helps to turn on the light in the lives of other people. In Jeremiah chapter 6, the Bible tells us about the nation of Israel and how they had turned away from God. And God had pleaded with them, and they just continued to turn away. And in verse 16, the Bible says this, "Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths." Now, stand in the ways. The word ways literally means crossroads, an intersection. Stand in the ways and ask for the old traditional path. The traditional path. You know, we keep thinking that we need to come up with some new approach, some new little whistle or bell that will work. It's amazing what happens whenever the Word of God gets turned loose in somebody's life. It's amazing You know, you and I don't have to defend this book. It's kind of like a lion. It does a pretty good job of defending itself. You can answer that later. Stand at the crossroads and see and ask for the traditional ways, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Well, it just doesn't seem like the popular way to stand for Jesus and to go down the straight and narrow, does it? It's never been popular. But we think today it can't be done. Really? I've been amused at this year's Olympics. I read an article about Michael Phelps. Now, if you've watched the Olympics at all, you've heard of the swimmer Michael Phelps. I mean, you know, he's won one or two gold medals. And what was it, 15, 16? So, I mean, you just kind of lost count. Michael Phelps was interviewed, and whenever Michael Phelps won his first gold medal several years back, several Olympics back, it really went to his head. And Michael Phelps really had some tough times. And he fell off into things that was bringing him down. And you read about him in the news, I'm sure, if you followed him at all. In 2012, he checked himself into a rehab because he fell again. And while he was in there, he picked up a copy of Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Rick Warren, a pastor of Saddleback Church in California. And surely you've heard of the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. I mean, Rick Warren made so much off of his book that he had been pastor there for 25 years, and he gave back all of his salary that he had made for 25 years because his books had sold so much. So surely you've heard of The Purpose-Driven Life, in which it talks about, it's not about you. It's not about you. And it's all about God. Michael Phelps said that knowledge saved his life. Now, I don't know exactly where he is spiritually, but he wasn't afraid to talk about God. But I want to tell you, there were others that didn't mind talking about it at all. You need to look up the interviews, or some of the interviews, with a man by the name of Steele Johnson. As a matter of fact, Steele has relatives in our church, doesn't he, JC? And Steele, one of the synchronized diving, that's what it was called, wasn't it? I couldn't remember that in the first service. Of course, I had a lot of problems in the first service this morning. I got choked on the communion wine. And I accused the deacons of, what did y'all put in the communion wine this time? I finally just had to stop and say, y'all just stand up and greet each other. I got to go get a drink of water. But anyway, Steele Johnson, whenever he was being interviewed after he and David Boudia, is that the way you pronounce it? B-O-U-D-I-A, you pronounce it. I'm just going to call him David. And the two of them were being interviewed whenever they had made the cut to enter the Olympics. And Steele, whenever the commentator turned to interview him, he said, well, first of all, I want you to know all of this is really great, but this is not what we're about. This is not what I'm about. This is not my purpose in life. My purpose in life is to serve Christ. And we're going to try to get JC's relatives to get a hold of him, and maybe we can get him to come here and speak. He wasn't afraid. And then, as soon as they turned from him, and it was almost like they wanted to get away from him as soon as they could, and they turned to David, whatever his name is, and began to interview him. Well, it was really him that helped Steele to really be vocal about his Christianity. And so he just echoed the same thing. There, before God in the world, they weren't afraid to take a stand for Christ. And then one of my favorites in the Olympics was Allison Felix. And Allison Felix has won more gold medals than any American runner, female runner. And whenever she would win a race, before she would go over and be interviewed, before she would pick up the American flag and make her victory lap with it, excuse me, she would bow and she would pray, thanking the Lord for the victory. If she was in a relay race, she would get together with her teammates, and the four of them would bow, and the commentator would say, "Well, she's having her they're having their prayer before they will before they'll talk to the TV people." And they weren't afraid to take a stand for Christ. Perhaps you watched the Texans yesterday evening, and you saw a number 59. His name is Whitney Merciless. And he is just a terror on the football field. He's a linebacker. He was the number one draft choice in 2012 for the Texans. And I mean, he just loves to tackle people. And he loves to take care of the quarterbacks. But I want to share with you, that man who was linebacker, number 59 for the Houston Texans, on Friday night, when all the team stays in the hotel before the day before the game, and the night before the game, they have a worship service. And that middle linebacker who led the team was a man who led the team in their worship service and standing up and reading the scripture for them. And if you read some of his tweets and see some of the other things, he is not afraid to be vocal about his faith and about his walk with the Lord. You can stand. And it doesn't matter how many people around you are unwilling to stand, you can stand. And the Bible teaches us that we need to stand in the way and stand when we stand at the crossroads. We need to choose the path that Jesus has offered for us. We need to choose that path because Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, said that there is a broad way that leads to destruction, and many take that route. But there is a narrow way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. I pray that you will be one of those few who choose to follow Christ with your life, and who choose to be determined that you are going to take a stand and that you are going to be there for Christ. You know, the Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians that we are to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand, and having done all to stand, that we may be able to withstand the temptations and the attacks of the enemy. And so the Bible teaches us that what we need to do is we need to suit up, and then we need to stand up. And you know what else you need to do? You need to show up. Show up. Every time God calls out, just be someone that says, "Here am I, Lord. Send me." Brother Danny, you've been talking to us about standing. What are you talking about standing? Take a stand. Take a stand. And if you take a stand, there will be those who will stand against you. But there are those who have stood in the past, and they are examples for us that you can stand no matter how difficult the day, no matter if you are the only one. He was 65 years old. And the Bible says that when he was 65 years old, Enoch walked with God. Now, we don't know what he was doing up until that point. But when he was 65, he walked with God. You know what? It may be that you have waited until today, and I don't know how many days old you are, but you have waited until today to begin your walk with God. Or maybe you've walked with God, and for whatever reason you have walked away from God, and today the Lord has brought you here so that you might renew your walk with him. Enoch, 65 years old, and he began to walk with God. The Lord said, I've had enough. Man, I've had enough. I'm just gonna wipe them out and start all over. However, the Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Everyone else on the planet had nothing to do with God. They only wanted to serve their own flesh. They didn't want to stand for God, but Noah said, I will stand for God. And you know what? If you will look on him with eyes of faith, he will look upon you with eyes of favor. He came to the end of his life, and he called all the people together after he had led them into the promised land. And Joshua had all of the tribes in front of him and all the leaders standing there. And he said, choose ye this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I want you to notice that he made a personal decision. A lot of times we want to make decisions for other people, what they need to do to straighten up. We want to make decisions for people, how they need to clean up their act and how they need to walk straight. But Joshua didn't do that. He said, as for me, you know what? I can't make a decision for you. You can't make one for me. But you can make it for you. And you'll be amazed that whenever you make it for you, how it helps others make that decision for them. And it was a personal decision. I want you to notice that it was a positive decision. Don't just spend your time on things that you're not going to do anymore. You know what? The Lord is not impressed with you or me going to him and saying, well, Lord, I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit doing that. Oh, really? But if we will come to the Lord and say, Lord, where do you want to start on me? God says, oh, really? Oh, really? And then under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, God begins to start working in our lives, not just to remove things, but to add to our lives. Notice, we will serve. We will serve. Not we are going to think about it, or we might do something, but it was a personal, it was a positive, it was a public decision. Do people know that you stand for Christ? And the way that you live for Christ, are people drawn to Christ? And in your life for him, is it something that is positive and it is affecting other people and they want that Jesus that you have? It was personal and it was positive and it was public and it was permanent. Have you made decisions over and over and over again, the same decision over and over and over again? Just keep, you'll make this commitment, and then you'll move away from it. You'll make this commitment, then you move away from it. Isn't it time to make a permanent decision for Christ today? That's who Joshua was. The Bible tells us there was a man by the name of Elisha. One day a servant came in and said, Master, we're in a heap of trouble now. We have really made the Syrians mad, and they are headed this way. There's an army of them headed this way, and we need to do something. And he looked down, and the Bible says he prayed, oh, Lord, open the eyes of my servant. And then he said to his servant, they that be with us are greater than they that be with them. He said, go outside and look again. And the Bible says that the army of the Lord was camped around Elisha's house. You know what, friends? God has ways of working in your life and my life that are beyond our ability to know them, but just to experience them. And we may not can see them all the time, but God is there taking care. And that's what happened in Elisha's life. Her cousin came to her and said, you've got to do something. She said, I can't do anything. You need to go to the king. I can't go to the king. You go to the king and he didn't ask for you, your life is over. That's it. He said, who knows but what you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so Esther said, you go pray, and I will pray. And you have the people to fast, and I will fast, and I will have my maidens to fast with me. And after they had fasted and prayed, she came back and said, I will go to the king, and if I perish, I perish. We have a choice to make, friends. We have a choice to make. Are we going to go with God? Are we going to go with what's popular? Are we going to go with what's safe? The Lord said to Jeremiah, call the Rechabites, this family of the Rechabites, call them in. And I want you to just pour out wine for them. Just put out bowls of wine for the Rechabites. And call them in and tell them, here it is. And so God was not tempting them. Here's what happened. The Rechabites came in, they saw this wine that Jeremiah had set out for them, and they said, we know you're the prophet, but we made a promise to God. We're not going to have anything to do with strong drink. We're not going to have anything to do with alcohol. We made a promise, our forefathers made a promise, and we're going to keep that promise. And God used that illustration to show to Jeremiah, see, all the people in the land have said they can't keep their commitment to me, but here I show you a group of people who have done that, and they can keep that. And I want you to know, Jeremiah, they will always be remembered by me, and I will fulfill my promises to them, and I am going to bless them for it. You know what? You make choices. And I make choices. What's interesting is, then those choices make us. Those choices then determine who we are. And those choices that you make, you then become known by. You know, I've made some bad choices in my life, and for some people, that's all they remember. Some choices that I knew better than to make whenever I made them, and I can't have them back. No, those folks just won't let me have them back. Doesn't matter how much I try to ask their forgiveness or whatever. And so by those choices, I'm known. But then by other choices, we can also be known. I invite you to begin your incredible, unforgettable journey in Christ today by choosing, and you need to choose now. Let's stand and pray.
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us for Sharpening Our Souls, the ministry of Old River Baptist Church. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next week for another edition of Sharpening Our Souls.